pasuk Yiras Hashem Toitzit Yomim Ushnois B'Shoyim Kirtzona is actually a pasuk that is found in the Gemara, as we will see, and it is used by a number of Tzvarim, all more or less lined up in the same way over a huge amount of territory. Historically speaking, you start reading from the earliest the Rishonim, the Pirush of the Rabbeinu Yonah and others, and the Sefer Ikarim and the Aritzvash and the Malbim and of course the Gra. Everyone is saying the same thing. And what is that? Well, let's look at the words of the Gra himself. Yiras Hashem Taisif Yomim Ushnois B'Shoyim Tikzolna. Yiras Hashem Taisif Yomim Kasha Adam Tamid B'Yirav Afachas. When a person is he's afraid, he's concerned, he's worried. Chayav einam chayim. The Chazal told us the shloisha chayayim einam chayim. V'yochol lomus min ha-da'oga. A person is possible that the da'oga is so profound, his worry, his concern, is eaten up by his anxieties to such an extent that the yomim mu'atim, in a few days, he can be destroyed. Now you have a question. Hey, Bazoi, the way the Rambam is master, what is Yira? The Shah Shemachashi B'Tvor Melo Atzman, when he thinks about the tremendous Kayach of the Ribbono Shlom and the beauty of his creation, he has a tremendous She'ifa to come close to Hashem, which is Ava. But that very moment, he sees with a certain awareness that frightens him, Mamish, to the core of his being. He says, I'm a birya ktana shfeila afeila imedes b'deya kala ma'uta l'fneit min deyeh. He jumps back like a person that had an electric shock. Jumps back. Almost by instinct. And he realizes that he's nothing. Ma'enosh ki siskarenu. David HaMelech said. And that's Yira. So that kind of a hergish of being nothing, a hergish of not having any right to stand with Shnei Melech Malchim Lachim HaKudosh Baruch Hu, is a very sophisticated and lofty hergish, but it's enough to put a person into a certain matzav of daiga. But what about the daiga of chait? What about the worry about Gehenna? What about the fear of punishment? All of these things coming together should make a person a nervous wreck. Zach da posuk yiras Hashem toisif yomim. It's a very important point to make here. A person who's cynical could say, I'll tell you why it's Eimei Kishah HaPechodim. You know why? Because it's not real. A person is a Russia standing behind him and about to throw him into a fight. Naturally, he's scared so to such an extent that he could pass out from the fright. He could even die maybe from the fright. His heart could stop. The person is afraid of the fighters of Gehenna. Lav dafka. A person has awe of Hashem. Is it the same as the awe of Melech Malchi Amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is it really the same? Vayshei Mera Shamayim Kemera Bosu Adami says at Yochem Azak. So Lamai said, a person could suggest that Avada is not the same fear, and that's because it's not as real. It's not as substantial. It's not as gashmi. But this pasuk tells me an entirely different story. And this is why this Gra and all of the other pirushim that have been done with are so critically important. The person on the highest level of Yira, the person in the Gadei Maisha Nusa Zutra Sahi, that person is the Simcha Atzuma. That person has the Aga, and the Aga is maybe Lidei Simcha. There's no greater superficial irony than that. When you analyze it, it's not ironic at all. It's actually quite logical. The Rambam, if you remember, because we've quoted it a number of times, and you may have seen it on your own, the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah, when he tells us that it's better to be marbe mois to the aniyim, matonis la'avyanim, than to be marbe the seuda or shloach manasish l'leyei. And he doesn't say it's because that's also a mitzvah of tzedakah, so you get two for the price of one. No. He says, because there's no greater simcha than to be misaleach, the evyonim and the malolim and the nitzrochim, the people who are poor and miserable. There's no greater simcha than to make them happy. And then he adds a few words, because a person, the sameach, the umlolim, is doyma l'shchina. Shenemar, he quotes the passage that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is machia le mechaya leif, the aniyim and the yisoyim and the almanis and the evyonim. I've always thought that what the Rambam was saying is as follows. The mitzvah is really one essential mitzvah. Besides Mikra Megillah, there's one mitzvah that's mitpatzel. It subdivides into three. The first chelik of the mitzvah is Seudas Simchas Purim, which is called the Mishta, because you have to drink Yayin. And the second is Mishloach Manas Shlemiyahu, and the third component of that one mitzvah is Matanos Levyonim. What is the common denominator? What makes it one mitzvah, really? In the pasuk it says, Yimei Mishta V'Simcha, and the pasuk it says, Mishloach Manas Shlemiyahu, Matanos Levyonim. But really, I think according to the Rambam, it's one big mitzvah simcha. It's a day of rejoicing in all possible ways. Rejoicing, ichalein with my inebriated self, is not going to be the true simcha that we're looking for. But it is a component of simcha. The hakol moedim ba'atzeres, the v'ina nami lochem, the Gemara Deir Tzachim says, hakol moedim b'shabas, the v'ina nami lochem, the karas ola shabas oinet, HaKol Moedim B'Purim D'Min Anami Lochem Yimei Mishta V'Simcha Tzir. There's a Lochem component that has to be for you an enjoyment, a delight. And Kazal everywhere recognize that delight is a Gashmiyus bigger thing. The Karasol HaShabbos, I think Shabbos is considered a delight. How do you show that Shabbos is for you a delight? So the answer isn't that you have to run and spend the whole day in the Beis Medrash. I tell you the best of Chayra, and Pikudei Hashem Yishon V'Samchei Leit, but the finesse of Gashmius is what it is. But the Koyach HaGashmi of a person is channeled, is harnessed to be able to delight in Ruchnius bigger things. Because Shbokh Hu saves us on Purim, we have to express our delight in Gashmius bigger things as well. But that's not where it stops, because that's not where Simcha stops. Simcha cannot stop at the door of my own personal physical pleasure. Because in Yiddishkeit, simcha is an extremely profound idea. When a person is the simcha, he can reach the highest levels. You cannot reach the highest levels just by eating and drinking. So what else is required? To join with someone else. To bond with another person. But even that's not enough. Even the Mishloach Manos Yishlevei was not enough. You also have to care about the unfortunate and the miserable. What is the nekuda there? Where is the simcha? He'll say the simcha is that you're strong enough and healthy enough and powerful enough and rich enough that you can, you're largest, it spills over to others as well. No. It's because you're daima l'shchina. The closer the neshama feels to be fulfilled, the more simcha a person has. Which leads us to an understanding that these three kinds of simcha, if you have a choice, which one should you increase? Because you're increasing at the expense of the others. You have so much money, where should you put it? So your answer is, where is the greatest simcha? And according to the Rambam, more than your own physical pleasure, which has its limits, or even the rejoicing together with others, the social pleasure of having a shutaf in your simcha, of caring about someone else who already has, but meanwhile you're co-opting into your own simcha as well, that's not enough. That's not the ultimate level of simcha. Why? Because even that is not yet doima l'shchina. Doima l'shchina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have any shutfim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't eat and drink. But doima l'shchina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of the ani and your son, the almanis, the nitzrochim, the marei leiv, the marei nefesh. This is where you can be doima l'shchina, and when a person is doima l'shchina, he is the most fulfilled and actualized. And that is the source of the greatest simcha. Mashallah, when you accomplish something that you recognize as valuable and important, you feel good about yourself. And when a person feels that he's done the Ratzon HaBorei, the neshama tingles with delight and excitement, and it conveys itself to the whole personality. A person is the simcha atzuma if he is yosher be'enei Hashem. If he is daima l'shchima. Mahu rachu, mafato rachu, mahu chamis. Neneula. Yira is the source of fulfillment, because Yira is the perspective of the person who's connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Yiras Hashem Toysif Yomim. It has nothing to do with the prosaic sense of not taking it too seriously, not being too afraid because it's far away and it's ruchniyistik and the gashmiyistik of fears are in front of you. That's not what we're talking about at all. We're talking about a person whose yira is on the highest level and is as real can be. We're talking about Yiras Hashem of the Tzaddik, who's the opposite of the Rasha. The Yiras Hashem Toysif Yomim, the greatest yira. And I would say, if a person doesn't have that level of yira, then he doesn't have the Haftoch of Toysif Yomim. Zot the Goy Vaitu, Shnois Rishoyim Tik Tzorina, Kloima. So I was showing, half of the shein yoshvin b'shalva, the ein pachad alikim negadeinayim, for roi lohem laharich yomim, half of the kein tiktsorna. It doesn't say here that it's tiktsorna because of the others that are the human kind of the others, although I think that's what he means, marbe nochosim, marbe the other. And then he adds, and by the way, the very fact that they were poik me'aleim, o malchus shamayim, that itself, shnoisei and miskatrim. I want you to know that the going here is very brief and he doesn't elaborate, but there's a shnoisei and miskatrim that comes mitzad ha'inish, and there's a shnoisei and miskatrim that comes mitzad being useless and worthless. You know, people have this idea that a Russia is like his personality is so damaged that he has deluded himself into thinking that he's happy and that he's content and that everything is going mamish ala tzara yaseh toif. Nothing could be further from the truth. Most rishayim are miserable people. A really content person can't do too much evil. And when a person is really perpetrating evil, I believe it's a sign of tremendous unhappiness. A person can't come to terms with himself. And the reason, of course, is because his neshama is going in the opposite direction, far away from Hashem as you can get. And the yearning and the striving of the neshama, you cannot stop. No Russia can stop his neshama from yearning and striving. So there has to be an internal conflict. There has to be a feeling that nothing is quite right. It's a lot of people who are gzirim, and they're not the seder, and they don't give tzedakah, and they don't keep the mitzvahs of the Torah. They're not happy people, even though they have. And they want more, that's not satisfactory, they're always busy worrying about what the other person has and worrying about how long they'll be able to keep it. And this is something that is brought out much more so in the other Mepharshim. Let's take a look at the Malbim. The Malbim is here, and the Malbim is also in a Pasuk in Perek Yutet, which is very similar. The Malbim here says, Yiras Hashem Toysif Yomim. I have it right after the Biur Agra. Hagam Sha'ira b'tnei Dovar Darko L'katzer Yomim. So he has the second shot of the Gra. That's what he's taisus right away. The toughest betzada aleph yomim shekoyel gam kein sheyu yimei toiva v'shalva v'ashonim meirin l'roiv al shnei tzar shereshoyim lo yivu yomim betoiv v'gam tiktzorna shnotzeim. So he says something interesting, that when the pasuk switches from Yomim to Shanim, it's already a negative about the Rasha. The Rasha does not have Yomim, he only has Shanim. The Malbim and many others have argued that there's a difference between Yomim and Shanim when Yomim is meant to measure the person's life. The Yomim idea is that every day has value, and the Shanim idea is that there's a passage of time. Every day has value, you use the word yom. When you use the word shanim only, you may mean that time has passed. In the case of rishoyim, besides the fact that it's tikzarna al yedei einish, the life itself that is being led is a miserable life. So kena mishmeinen, that a Rosha has a good life, it's not so. Even when Chazal tell us that I get there, olam hazeh, for example, the Gemara in Erechon says, ad heichon tachus shel yisurin. What is the limit of yisurin? And everybody knows this. Chazal puts his hand in his pocket to look for a nickel. He needs a nickel, the dafka, and he takes out a dime. But the nickel is in the pocket, so he has to put his hand back in his pocket again. Marash, what's the big deal? The answer is a minor inconvenience. So the Gemara says that's the limit of Yisur, meaning the lower limit of Yisur. So what is this Megeya? So it's very fascinating. There seems to be something of a Chalukei Deus about the Pshat in this Gemara. The Ramban in Teretz HaAdam says black on white. Zos Nishmenin, that this is the Yisurim that Memarkin Avonois of Shal Adam. Yisurim are a kapara, as it says in the Rambam, in the first Perik of Hilchos Tshuva, and so on, the end of Maseches Yuma, Yisurim Memarkin. Yisurim are a kapara if they are real Yisurim. Maybe I would add the word Bar Minan. We don't look for them. Lo Yehem, Lo Yishchan. But, says the Ramban, these kind of minor inconveniences, these are not considered Yisurim Memarkin of Anosho Shalom. They're too insignificant to allow for this miracle, this cleansing of Aveiros. However Yisurim works, whether it's logical or supernatural, it doesn't make a difference. It does not include these kinds of Yisurim. So what does the Gemara mean? The Gemara says like this. If 30 days go by and a person has no minor inconvenience, it's a sin that he's a Rasha, because he's getting his Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. A life that is totally perfect for a stretch of time is the biggest raya that this person is not beseder at all. So the Gemara asks, and what kind of moment is called enough Yisurim that he should not be in that category of Rasha? Because Lamaisa, his life is not totally perfect. The answer is even the small minor inconvenience. Once a person has that inconvenience and he gives a crap, right? Where's that dime? Where's that nickel? Then the person knows that he does not have the time frame has broken and he does not have the shalva of Rishayim. So I'm thinking to myself, a Rasha could have that kind of tranquility in his life. Is it a steer to Rishayim? Not to the Tiktsarna. Tiktsarna is done. He has a shorter life. The punishment. But I'm talking about in the living of the life itself. So the answer is, first of all, you could have stretches of time that have shalva, but the next day there could be something that crashes on your head. That's number one. And number two, maybe there's no sphere. Maybe you could have that kind of, you might have a day that doesn't have tachlis shel yisurim of that kind, but the life that you are living and the structures that you're setting up come back to haunt you in a very big way. You know, you have people who are Rishoyim and they build up empires, but they have misery from their children and they have a tremendous amount of tzar and achmas nefesh of all kinds. Maybe dafka because they know that they are Rishoyim deep down. And as I said, the neshama keeps yearning. But whatever it is, shnais Rishoyim, the shanim themselves are not full of yomim. That's the mountain here, and there's a pasuk in Mishlei Perek Yitzet, pasuk Chav Gimel, Yiras Hashem L'chaim. The Sodeya Yolin Bal Yipoked Ra. So Yiras Hashem L'chaim, the Sodeya Yolin Bal Yipoked Ra. So says the mountain, Yesh Hevdel Ben Yiras Hashem Ubein Yira Acheres. The same Torah. Shayorei Mimikrei Ha'olam. Person is afraid of his shadow, he's afraid of events, he's afraid of... I remember once a person called me up, so tell him the Gazach. A person that I knew called me up, I hadn't spoken to him for quite a while. We had once had long conversations, Aruch, you know, we were Metayel, Aruch, Yisuktsori, Tashidne, and Yonit. And then that's it, not exactly a close friend in any sense, but someone that might, we might have occasion to speak on from time to time. The day after 9/11, he calls me up. He must speak to me. He absolutely must speak to me.
I was thinking to myself, who knows what happened? I mean, it was not, 9/11 had nothing to do with him, although maybe. So he tells me, we met, and we spoke for a long time. He says he cannot function. He feels like the earth is shaking underneath his feet. He can't have a normal day. Of course, that passes. But this idea of Mikrei HaOlam scaring a person out of his wits, this is not so uncommon. And that mirrors Mekatzeres at the Chaim, says the Malbim. Hayira Timna HaMaychol Vashena doesn't want a person to eat, it doesn't want a person to sleep. He has nightmares. No one gets nightmares from Yira Shemayim. Again, not because it's not such a serious Yira, but because that Yira connects the person to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He probably has a very gishmak of sleep. Mesuka Shnas HaOyved. He says a person has yira, he has bitachon, and if he has bitachon, he doesn't have those kind of worries that eat a person up. Tell it because the person really believes that the Ribbono Shel Olam is in the driver's seat. He has to be a Baal Yira, because he feels the Ribbono Shel Olam b'chush in his life. That person definitely has bitachon. And if he has bitachon, then he does not have the regular daigus. Yiras Hashem, Yim Chayim, V'Saveya Yolin, She'yachal V'Sfir, V'gam Yishan, Ki Ayira Azu, Tosem Mimenu Kol Yira Acheret, Sha'yore, Et Hashem Batuach, Shabal Yipokid Ra, Loitiga by Shumra. Let's track Loitiga by Shumra. People have all kinds of things. But the face nisht ra. It's a very, very interesting thing. The Ribbono Shel Olam meets out all kinds of things to tzaddikim as well. There's no question about it. But the real tzaddik subsumes himself under the Ribbono Shel Olam to such an extent that he's makabel yisurim ba'ava. That Kabbalah ba'ava undermines the pachad of the Yisur. The pachad for Hashem always cancels the pachad of Yisur. You don't know what's going to happen next. You say it doesn't really matter because I'm in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But to be that kind of Baiteach, you have to have tremendous Yira. Yira, Emuna, Bitachon. That's how it goes. If you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and it's the chush so that you have yira, then the consequence of that is bitachon, and the consequence of bitachon is simcha. That is the way it works. So it says here, She'ayore batuach shebal yipokid ra felotiga boshumra v'chafetz chayim. Once encountered a person, I believe I may have mentioned this in the past, he once encountered a person and said, whatever his name was, how's it going with you? And he says, Oy Rebbe, Zeya Shlecht. The Chafetz Chaim corrected him. He said, you're not allowed to say Shlecht. Shlecht means Ra. And Ra you cannot say about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. But you could say it is bitter. Interesting. Bitter is a taste in your mouth. Weist ois that a person was on that madrega that the word Ra could never come out of his mouth, then maybe he doesn't even feel the bitter. But the Vayiga by Shum Rav, Al Kenu by Teach, the Enloi Pachat Mishum Dava, Vachem Yiras Hashem Toysiv Yon. So the Pasuk in Mishlei corroborates in Perik Yud Tez, the Pasuk in our Perik Yud at the end of the Perik. Now the Yaris Dvash here, which I'm going to skip for the moment, is Mayrich a little bit in this Inyan, and very beautifully, with a lot of poetic flair. But let's look at the Rabbeinu Yonah first. Mar b'Torah, mar b'Chayim. Zeh ha'dovah k'neged ma sh'omar, mar b'Bosor, mar b'Rima. Shal yidei ha'tainiv yiskat shu yomov. Shal yidei omol b'Torah yarichon. It's very interesting. He words mar b'Bosor, mar b'Rima doesn't just mean that when a person could live for 150 years, but if he's very fat, there's going to be a lot of bugs crawling in and out for a long time because they have a lot of what to eat. He learns Mar Berima means that the person is going to be Mekatzer Yomim, Chmono Litzlan. The truth of the matter is, everybody knows today that Mar Berbosa, Mar Berima, in the sense of Hatayin of Yizkatzer Yomov, this is the Chaposh Tezach, person lived a life of physical pleasure, more than likely he's going to be fat. More than likely he's going to have a lot of cholesterol and maybe diabetes. And more than likely he's going to have all kinds of other machlus and inyonim that have to do with the profligate kind of existence. And more than likely he's going to have kitzayonim as a result. The person can develop, also contract all kinds of diseases because of the tainuk that he chases after, and the amazing yodim. And, people do not get HIV from learning Rambam. But anyhow, the fact is that this is where the Rabbeinu Yonah says this Torah that we've had already in the Vilna Gaon and in the Malbim, based on the Pesukim in the Shleim, which he says at the very end, it quotes our Pasuk, as we shall see. Ki daigas hanachosim mekatzeres shnoisov, daigas ha-toyra af ki hi daigo gedolo l'mezin, kashe yachashi ba-halocha ad yoyma dova dovro alofnov. Ein yecholet la daigo ahi lasos loy ra. An amazing thing. This is exactly what I said before. It's not because he doesn't take it seriously enough so it doesn't bother him. You know, there are a lot of people that if they don't understand the Tosfos, they just, it bounces right off of them. What's the big deal? So I don't understand the Tosfos. If the Tosfos explained himself better, if I had more patience, or if I was more interested, then maybe I would understand the Tosfos. But if I don't, I don't. And I go right, and maybe I'll understand the next one. Maybe I will learn the next one. Maybe I won't learn the next one. Marash. You know, there are some people that if they don't understand the Tosfos, they feel like they're getting sick. They feel like it's the end of the world. Gainsay Azayim Levin. And these are the people that they're... Listen, the Vilna Gaon is a story that he had a sick son. Obviously, other people were attending to him. There's no question about it. But the father likes to visit his son and see how he's doing. Apparently, in those days, when you got sick, it was always a serious thing. You know, without antibiotics, anything can go wrong. So he had a room, which his son was lying there in a separate room. He forgot about his son, that he was sick completely, and only reminded himself after several days, because his mind was immersed in a conundrum, in a puzzle, in a problem that he had in a Yerushalmi or whatever. Until it was resolved, he could not focus on anything else. Not that he couldn't focus beside Yerushalmi, he just simply couldn't focus. He wasn't anywhere. He wasn't on this earth anymore. There wasn't anywhere to focus, because he was somewhere else. He was transported into that Tosfos, into that Marsha, into that tour, into that shach, and that's it. This is the Talmud Chacham's Mahalach, if he has this commitment to the Tosfos that the Rabbeinu Yonah is talking about. Nacham al Deloshon. You have to be amazing. Aski he daigo gedoylo l'mezin. What do you mean amazing? The Torah says, because another person says, what's your problem? To go by, because you have a kasha and taisus. Kasha yechashi ba'alocha ad yoyim adov adov ha'ofav, until he gets it just right. You know, he's into Pasuk and Mishlei. You know, the Rabbeinu Yonah's language everywhere is one quotation from Chazal and from Sukkim after another. That's the way the Rabbeinu Yonah wrote. So he's quoting here the Pasuk, Hapuch ezov maskios kasha adov adov ha'ofav. He says, until he gets it just right, nevertheless, even as sick as he can get, in quotation marks, that being sick is going to be Moisif Simcha, that being sick is Moisif Yomim. It's a paradox, maybe, on the surface, but it's really not. Because the Neshama is being fulfilled. Adarabi, you go away from the Tosfos with a sense of guilt and responsibility. So that's not my cup of tea, but it really it should be, should it not? So he comes away from it. Eina Yecholus Ledaigahi, person who learns with tremendous zeal and effort and energy expended, and he doesn't always come to the maskon, and it's hard. Avoida La Seisloi Ra, that cannot do any damage to him. Afo Pishonu Chachme Ateva, Hayoga Yecholi Aleiv, Adaigo Hukalais Aleiv. It says misery is, of course, something. You know, they understood a long, long time ago that there's a psychosomatic relationship between the body and the mind and the feelings of a person, and that there is a person's daigas can do physical damage. That's what the agmas nefesh. You know, people say that he died of agmas nefesh. or his heart plucked from Agnes Nefesh. Again, a pasuk. Let's go back to the Yaris Vash. Maybe the Yaris Vash. Yaris Vash in Jewish Dalit says as follows. Another phenomenon. Here he uses the word Mephis as if to say phenomenon. Ki im yale the late ish pachad umayra li bus of a dumb, derech mashal, sha'an she'im melchoma yargu, there's an enemy at the gate, they're about to spill in, they're going to kill him for sure. The yasmit, the yamik zerinyin b'machshav, so it might not even be real, but he thinks that way. He has this anxiety attack, and he has this pachad, the pachad balelois, v'yiyu yomim mu'atim sh'yechle v'choyli ha'melankali, she'u marash choyra. Marashkar, we use the word Marashkar, the black bile, but what we mean is the person is in a depressed state. Even if there's 10 locks on the door, he's going to feel that at any moment they're going to break in. Of a bird, and he's already scared out of his wits and running for his life. The Radaf Isai Koil Ole Nidof, the course quoting from the Kwalas of the Taichacha. Bacholya is Gaber Inyan Achi Yomas Pisaim Haisa Makos. Lumazet, in Yikva Ish Beliba Yimayra Shamayim, the Yitzayab and Machshavte Raymamas Kedusha Shmai Venaira Hu, Dula Saivamim Shabora, Shanachu Afilu Kinekuda Ktano Einam Nechshavim. We're like, we're not even like the smallest dot, the smallest iota. We're neged olama shebara compared to the cosmos that the Ribbono Shel Olam created. How are Yismali Chal Chol of the Rezus Lifnei Hashem, the all powerful Hashem, the all great Hashem. Of course, we are filled with tremendous awe. L'choyim v'yoyim, Yosef l'zgabe b'yira, ki Yosef shemaz chubiras Hashem, Yosef liras Hashem, ki ein keis l'gdurato. Says here, where is the Gazach? Yerushalayim is never a static thing. It's not like you reach a madrega of Yerushalayim and you stop. And that's the level that you're on. It says, because in the Yerushalayim that you have, you're constantly preoccupied with the relationship and the distance between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is always and perpetually maisif more Yerushalayim. And even though he's busy constantly being concerned with Ressus and Chachol and Luz Hashem, he says the sweetest, softest, nicest people are people that have, walk around the whole day with tremendous Meirah Shemayim. The Zeh, Ki B'Yirah Kazu, comes close to what I was trying to tell you before. He says the Teva helps you because Teva is that the Neshama should be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was not established Lekach for that purpose, for that Yira, the Yira of Abbas of Adam, the Yira of but he called Yirush of Shtus because there's no bitachon. If Kinoisa Dov it negatively, Lakach Yitzah lo v'yachlash kaychay. Essentially, the Yaris Vash says what we were saying before. The Rosha could never be really happy because there's an against the Teva of the Rosha of Alikim Osa to Adam Yashar, Fehim Bikshu Cheshbainus. The Zel Rimer HaPosuk Yiras Hashem, one tachlish. It's not going to weaken you. Lehefech, rak toisiv yomim. So the Yaris Vash of Yonatan Eishiv Tuchon Olavocha, he's just mimic the Nekuda that already been mentioned that we've had from three other Mekoyres, from the Rabbeinu Yonah, from the Gro, from the Malbim. Sefer Yikarim says exactly the same thing. He says, a person who becomes rich, he says, he ends up producing all kinds of anxieties, fears, and concerns that are going to eat him up. And in the memory, he develops a weak personality and he is fraught with all kinds of inadequacies. Masha'en kein asher ish yireyes Hashem, the mitzvahs of chafetz mi'oid, gibor ba'aretz yiyazar. So what he produces is gvura. And there's another Yaris Dvash, which says essentially the same point that we made before, and that is that this person who's not a tzaddik, he has a constant concern about all sorts of things. I had this unbelievable idea. You know, we have, Bli Ayin Hara, a tremendous bracha of Bizman Hazeh. I'm walking around since I heard about this, because I was not aware of it until the Petira of HaGoyin Rav Yashiv, Zichrono Livracha, L'chayei L'mabo. I was not aware of a fact, of a detail of his life, namely that he was born to parents who did not have children for 17 years. As I state in the biographies, it seems that he was a ben yochid. They didn't have any other children. And he was born after 17 years of being barren. And I'm thinking to myself over and over again, imagine a parent who's not a parent. Imagine a couple who cannot have children. Imagine people who have dreamed and hoped and of fostering the Yiddishkeit, of continuing to the next generation. And it's gatenished, and it's gatenished, and it's gatenished, and it's gatenished. Now, how many years has already passed? At what point already are we misyayish? And there's no in vitro fertilization, there's no chaloimus and shifus. Maybe medically we'll be geholfen. There's just a blank. There's a wall, a mechitza, and the mechitza cannot be breached. And I imagine that they davened and davened, and they went to tzaddikim, and they went to gedolim, and they went to all kinds of kvarim, maybe, I don't know, whatever they did. The Litvish really don't go to kvarim so much, but lamaisa, whatever it is that they did, I don't know what they did. I never saw in a biography what they did. But I imagine that what they didn't do is they didn't have the simcha and the excitement and the joy of diapering a baby. They didn't have the simcha and excitement and joy of teaching a baby aleph bet, of bringing him to shul for the first time in the vigala, and then later bringing him into shul so that he should absorb that the hislavas of Torah and start suddenly learning mishnayos and gemara. None of this was possible for them. They had chaverim for sure in that in the shavu where they were living, and then there was a beis medrash, and there was tzaddikim and talmidei chachamim and all kinds of activity, and there were little children running around, and everybody was full of life and energy. And here is a home that's empty and barren, with nothing inside it. The two older people, and you reach a certain age if you're married already for 17 years. When did you get married? At 10. So you're already reaching that point where it's almost impossible to have children anymore. So the Yiddish is building up and building up and building up. Tell that couple, let a Navi show up out of the blue, a Malach, like by Manoyach the Ishtai, and let him come to that couple after 15 or 16 years, a year before, and say, you are going to have in the space of a few generations, over 1,000 descendants from the child that you will have next year. Is the chmamish the fantasy of fantasies? It's enough to tell them that you'll have a child. Have so many, and then tell them something else. That in this crazy world that you are in, because at that time the world was mamish in total upheaval, is the time you're talking about is a time of chaos, of turmoil. It's the time of the First World War is approaching, and it's just managed. The whole world is falling apart. And you're going to tell this person, you know what? You're going to have a child. And the child's going to be born into an environment and circumstance where Yidden are falling away like flies, where Yidden are giving up their bitachon and Hashem and their emuna as well. And you're going to raise not only one child, who's going to be the Gadol Hador. It's going to be the Teferet Hador, but doiris and doiris of Yirei Shamayim, Tzaddikim, Talmidei Chachamim, one after the other, children and sons-in-law and daughters-in-law, all on the level of the Hechsa Tzadikim of the Dor. This is the chacholim and a fantasy that a person doesn't allow himself in his wildest imagination. It's more than too good to be true. It's too absurd to be true. But kachava, mamish kachava, gebal gebal and akind, they moved to Eretz Yisrael, they were spared the korban, and they raised the door, and the name of Yashiv is forever. What am I trying to bring about? Bring out? How do you end up with 1,000 descendants? How do you end up with a sixth generation that you said, if I would be Zeicher and I would be the Chasna, I would be Kosher Liazis on that, on my Ur-Enikul Zeinikul. That Chasna, I would be able to be Kosher Liazis. Let me ask you, how do you end up with a Cheshvan of 1,000? So the answer is, Baruch Hashem, you have a lot of children. And your children have a lot of children. And their children have a lot of children. There was a lady in Williamsburg that was nishtaris, that she had close to 2,000 descendants. How does that happen? So let me ask you, economically, how do you make a cheshbon like that? How do you have, with so little, a little room and a half, where it was a pasta, another kaychumayim, and the surah tishta, how does a person allow himself to have children? Bechlam, have so many children. So I remember that there was at one point a big discussion with Kedank many, many years ago. But the shaila was, what does it cost in America to raise a child? So you know that they have these sweatshirts, t-shirts, whatever they call it, for babies. And it's the year of Shal Hagoyim, 2000. So they write, there's a t-shirt on the back, it says, Harvard, 2020. Is a baby born? Again, in Harvard. And believe me, the Eden, now they have one that says Brisk 2000. So there's a Harvard 2020 mentality. I'm raising a child, and the child has to go to Harvard. So the question is now, Lama Fleming, an economist, Vifful Vedel Kim Neil Kostgeld, from the time that he's born until he goes to Harvard. The Ad Bechlau. So they made a cheshbon and they came out to a very interesting thing. Through the age of 18, it costs to raise a child, this man hazeh, in America, on the average, $227,000. That, of course, was slightly more than the median price of a home. We're not talking about Flatbush, you understand? There you can buy, like a couple of bedrooms. But $227,000 is the median price of a home in America at the time that they made this survey. Now, this, of course, does not include the four-year college degree, is a bazoi, ziful dafit kostum, once you take all of that into account. Once a four-year degree is factored in, state in that report, once it's factored in, along with opportunity, parents, child rearing, you have to take into account that it goes a little bit slower, the work. Anyhow, the bottom line is, from birth through college, it's not unlikely that it should cost approximately $1 million. There's a profound issue, so that's why a person figures that he can have maximum, 1.5 children and a dog. A dog doesn't go to Harvard, and a dog probably doesn't cost more than $100,000 to raise. So if that's the case, how does a person allow himself even to imagine or to think that he's going to have a large mishpacha? So they came out with a shtickle chasim chama. They say like this. The first baby is definitely the most expensive. The second one is less. And the third one is a lot less. The Feshteitzach does not even have him to think beyond the third, because what's on the sugar is going to have more than three children to begin with. So, you got to give them ballet lessons, and you got to worry about their hockey games, and then tohulu v'chulu. So, hagoba atzmuch v'chulu, give them some klal yisrael after the korban, if we would allow this kind of thinking to creep into our minds. So we have to have $1 million per child. A person doesn't have $1 million in his lifetime. And Baruch Hashem, he has 13 or 14 children, and they're already having 13 or 14 children. And what is with the geld? So cynical say, yes, yeah, because they rely on the government and funds and this and that. Sheker v'chazer, Rabbi. Sheker v'chazer. They rely on nothing. Whatever is there, they take advantage of. And if it's not there, they continue writing. And if they live in poverty, they live in poverty. But having children is the most gewaldic gebrocha, and it's exactly this nekuda. The person that makes these kind of cheshbonos is the person of Shnayis Rishayim Tiktarna. It's the person, you see, that people are prudent when they make these kind of cheshbonos. They're reasonable. The other people are nishuga, they're irresponsible. You hear these arguments, and you know, all that, they're a bunch of parasites. They're going to live on others, and they're not even going to be grateful. They're ingrates and parasites. And the chulu, they open up the hole with the sorus with all the nasty negative words about people, and they unload it on this charedim, you know. And then as long as they go, don't go to the army, it's going to be bitter and miserable. They're all a bunch of parasites. A few of them will go to the army, everything will be all right. And the terrorist is mizil oislat in Yiddishkeit. But the problem is that when a person approaches the problem without bitachon, without emunah, that primes the bitachon, you're definitely going to come up with a chesed of $1 million per child, and then you're going to say it's unreasonable, it's unfair, it's irresponsible, it's parasitic. The minute you plug in the Ribbono Shel Olam in the equation, then the child is born with the pas in his mouth, and that is it. And you have taka worries and what's going to sign it should look and what's going to sign it does. What's going to sign it does, and this is a chelak of the ivdu es Hashem b'simcha bayu lefon of b'nam. That is the thing. The U ki Hashem hu Elikim. On them, the U ki Hashem Elikim, they'll never be the Simcha, never be the Nun. It's not Shaykh. And all these people that are busy a whole day worrying about Me'echon Yerek Zechai, and how am I going to ever be able to raise this child, and we can't have another one. And if Chas V'Shalom Alam comes out, they're making a bush, Rachman, what fun, they're going to kill the Nefesh that comes out of them because they can't afford. They can't afford a country that has a whole philosophy of killing babies because the country needs to be able to have an economy. A godless country, a country, you know, Confucius. But the lemaisa, the answer to Shura is that there's no Ribbono Shel Olam. Racking years to the king by Mokam Azev Haraguni. You know what Haraguni means? You kill yourself. You kill your future. You kill your own children. That's for Haraguni. If there's no Yiras Olikim, then each person is over on the Haraguni. He kills himself. He denies his future. And that is exactly the Nakuda that all of these Sfarim are bringing out. But the second Yiras Dvar, he makes this case very strongly. He writes, Hatzadik v'chacham leivot lo yidak rak al yomim mu'otin. He says, let's start from the beginning, because these two paragraphs are meridic. In Drush Hey, Ha'ish ha'elech tamim ve'ein b'lishon yechozov shu tachlis ha'rabba atzmusa ke'ein l'chora el ha'chozov ve'ein b'ein remiyah. There's no chozov, there's no re'iyah on ha'elech tamim. Zeh zeche ba'olam hazeh gam kim b'birchus yitzvot v'yankes. V'lo sholet by kitrug esos. Ha'yosem mitakin ha'pagam v'shomer amunim. כבר נוידע כי חי העולם הבא נקרא עם חיים, כי הם חי אמס ונצחי. אבל העולם הזה רק בגדר יונם, כי יעד הוא קצר וכחלום יאוף. But then he says, however, if you look at the word יונם, you learn something else from the word יונם, and that's my analysis of the Pasuk in Mishlei, which Pasuk are Pasuk, Mishlei Yud Pasuk Chazayin. Yiras Hashem Taisif Yonim Lishnos Rishonim Tiktsonov, who vadai, if a person is going to go make a cheshbon from today till he graduates Harvard, shonim, years and years, my yikraloi, im loy berev yonim yapsirasov, he has to worry what's going to be if the economy goes down, if the economy tanks, and what's going to be if I lose my panosa, what's going to be if I lose my job, what's going to be if there's going to be a war, the chadoyna, ad she yapsit kol nechosov, the chayim, Mayikra Lebonov, Venechdov, Vechadoim, Libek Tzoros Mochel, he's worried about tomorrow's future. What's going to be with my children? What's going to be with my Enikwach? I once asked the person, no, it's the same thing exactly. He was basically an Elohim. I said, you have $5 million, and more or less that's what we made a cheshbon, that he has $5 million. He says, why don't you give much more stock? He says, Rabbi, I cannot manage on $5 million because I have to provide for my family and for my grandchildren. And by the time it's over, and I have to leave something for myself so I don't have to be dependent upon anybody, there's no money left. And you want to know something? This is a legitimate cheshbon. In its misgaris, it is a legitimate cheshbon. So he says, you worry about daigas saris mocha, v'yesh mocha l'achas man, because he's quoting Chazal. What he means is that their mocha isn't one day. Their mocha is years and years and maybe generations. How a yichya called yomov chayitzaru machoidim, for this person basically miserable his whole life because he's always worried what's the time. He wants to know if he has money for today's bread, if he has for the month, for the week. Somehow you manage. So then he's concerned about the next couple of days. If the yomim is the cheshbon, she'ein lo rak yomim. Avol rishnois rishayim, if the rishayim, they have shonim. And then he writes, the Zeba when the Sena Rabbim Roya Choymishamar bin Lidoy Gal Yomim Aruchim. Well, the Tachus B'neim, it's a mamish. He hasn't talked about Harvard. It's the same point. The Tachus B'neim Liyomim Rabbim Yasu Tachbulay. The Nimzavot Techalton, and they always get disappointed. Kirashem is Kanu Aliwas, because the Rebbe Shalom is the one who manages things. He's the bus driver. It's the chutzpah b'chlal to think about so far in the future when there's no control over the next moment. So that's Mir Yishachot Yitzchayim also. You want to see good, you want to have good life, you think in yomim, not in shonim. You don't make plans that are lashav, and you don't have this constant worry about everything. You trust in the Ribbono Shlomim, and you rely on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Klal Yisrael and also promised the Tzaddik Nitzchius. How that Nitzchius will formulate itself? You can have 17 years of barren existence. It's enough to bring out the Chana and in front of Eli HaKoyin in every mother, in every woman who wants to become a mother. And she's barren. She's another Chana. And she says, Ribbono Shel Olam, Nasati, Zera Anoshim give me. Chana, Yitircha Dvarim Klapei Malah, says the Gemara Brachah. She challenged that Kodesh Baruch Hu. We learned already that the Nefesh HaChaim has a completely different shot. She oriented her argument not on her side, not because of her, but because of Hashem himself. For your sake, I say l'man Shimcha HaGadol. But be that as it may, the fact is that we who measure based on yomim are infinitely better off, and the future somehow works itself out. It works itself out. I always tell people the same thing. Just daven and learn. Make brachas the way you're supposed to. Do chesed, give tzedakah. I know a person who gives an extraordinary amount of tzedakah. Maybe many of us know that person. More than he's permitted to, maybe even up to the halacha. And somehow it happens. We don't know how and when and where and what. We don't know who's going to give it, who's going to help you. We don't know anything. The next day, we don't know. And figuring out how much raising kids costs is a preoccupation of people who have no bitachon. And it's not just kids, it's everything in life. You know, this constant concern, I have to have this kind of job and I have to have this kind of degree. I mean, the degree itself, this degree is not going to be good for you. But burn the Da'alma Kura, how many people have Harvard degrees and the Abnish can welcome that. People have these fashnukata degrees from the place, they practically bought it, Maybe you got it on the back of a cereal box. And then, Hashem, they're matzliach. And people go to yeshiva, they get these these degrees for learning, you know, for credits. And one fellow went to Yale with the same degree, and he didn't go to Harvard before. Nishkagangan Atu in college, and he did very well. Like a lawyer, that's what they do. How right a lawyer should be able to think like the person who learned Gemara. This is the whole avodah of the Yiddish, to understand the Yiddish, to fear the belt. The concept of the Chorazacha used to say, Ruba de Ruba, the Yiddish, to fear the belt. Ruba de Ruba. It's not a sarcastic remark. It's an understanding that the Yiddish, to fear the belt, so 100%, that where do I come into the picture? But where are you thinking? Where do you come into the picture? That's what he was trying to say with that sarcastic remark. Ruba de Ruba. Since that's his nature, Ruba de Ruba. His present possessed damage to sit himself. So what else to worry so much? About Hashem, I rather, you know, a lot of lessons that I teach, I'm not so good at myself, I have to admit. Talking to myself 99% of the time. This evening, rather, I don't have such a concern. I don't have such a pachad. Because damage to sit himself, that's a game dogma. Came time to build the shul. I didn't sit down and make a calculation. If I sat down and make a calculation, there would be no shul. There's no Abed Apir, because there's no nothing. Whether the microphone system works or it doesn't work, wouldn't be a question. It's not Megaya. It's because I didn't make a Cheshbon. And that's what the Talmid of Jerusalem said when he came and saw this magnificent building somewhere in South America, the Yankee building. But that kind of Meshuggah has the core kind of Yiras Hashem Taisis Yonah. That's what he is. So that's the Hashem Yisbach, the Taisis and Shpet, and there's a lot more here.